Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
TV party tonight! TV party tonight!
Oh, we got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Don't want to talk about anything else.
We don't want to know.
We're dedicated, yes,
to our favorite shows.
All my circuits.
Everybody loves Hypnotoad.
Good evening. This is TV Party Tonight. I'm your host, the mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Radledge. And tonight marks the first exclusive show from the Radledge and Broadcasting Network on the WTM network. So hopefully you found us there. You must have if you're listening to this. But that's where, yes, the old feed is gone, and now we are an exclusive part of the W2M family put out by Sean Garmer and company. And this is our first official show, a Radledge and Broadcasting Network production on the WTM network. How about that shit? Well, what are we talking about? I think it only fitting that the very first official show should be a wrestling review, right? So, our favorite show tonight is NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2, brought to you by the good people at World Wrestling Entertainment and NXT UK. Joining me tonight, he's a Star Wars fan, but he also likes his wrestling, and he thinks I'm an asshat, and who am I to argue? Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Bailey, how do you do?
Oh my God, we're back again. Yes, sir. I'm doing well, sir. The Canadian office is looking good, and we got some new surroundings here. We're on a new network. This is great. I'm super pumped to talk about some Star Wars tonight. Oh, wait a second. We got to talk about NXT, don't we? Damn it.
Yes.
I guess we'll go with that.
Yes, you won't have to do my impression of a speeder bike trooper punching Baby Yoda. Instead, if you have heard our TV parties before on various wrestling events, you know Chris Bailey and I, one, we don't cotton to no mess, first of all. We tell it like it is. We're pretty brutally honest. But also,
to say the least.
What might say we've been very negative in the past. I think we're positive where things are good, but when they're mostly bad, that's what we tend to focus on. And we do so in our own admittable fashion. So tonight's going to be very different because I don't have a lot of complaints about this show.
Nope.
From top to bottom, and it starts off kind of okay. And then it just got better and better and better and better. And then, oh my God, my pants were tight and then they were wet. This was an amazing show. And we're only in January, Chris Bailey. Can you hardly believe it?
Oh, we're almost at Royal Rumble season, my friend. We've still got a couple. WWE managed to cram 3 pay-per-views into this month. God bless them all. But we're ready to cover number 1, and it starts out with a good one, sir. So pleased to get started here.
Yes, sir. On the pay-per-view portion of our broadcast, we had Eddie Dennis versus Trent Seven. And I don't know what an Eddie Dennis is, but he seems to be wearing Mortis's old gear.
Well, a combination. He seems like an anorexic Ricky the Dragon Steamboat circa his dragon suit is what he looks like.
Do you remember Mortis from WCW when they were doing they were doing like a halfway's Mortal Kombat gimmick?
Blood runs cold, brother. Indeed, I do.
Ugh, it certainly did. Leave.
I loved it. I met Glacier actually a few years ago. He was a cool cat.
I understand Glacier is a very cool fruit who really knows where his towel is at. but yes, Eddie Dennis, and wearing his best Mortis cosplay outfit, took on Trent Seven, who had a glorious mustache.
Oh boy, that's one of the key features of Trent Seven is his mustache. It's beautiful.
Indeed. I don't know much about either of these guys. I'm gonna be honest. The NXT UK brand, I tend to watch the takeovers. I very rarely catch the show. I tried to watch a little bit of it leading up to this, just so I had some clue what was going on. I didn't even know these two were wrestling until the show started. And honestly, when Trent Seven walked up, I thought Tyler Bate had just gotten fat.
Well, he's Tyler Bate's tag team partner at Mustache Mountain. So
I thought he looked familiar. Okay.
Yes, so that's his tag team partner. Trent Seven is unusually over with this crowd. I guess not unusual because it is UK. But Mustache Mountain is a big deal over across the pond, we'll say. So, you know, I was pleased to see Trent Seven. I kind of dig his work and I dig his look. And he's got that, you know, regular dad body type of look going. And he fought Armory King Eddie Dennis.
This was a one spot match for me. It was fine. It was fine. It was fine. And then Eddie Dennis done through Trent Seven at some poor passerby and into the guardrail.
Boy, did he ever. It was, it seemed, I don't know, it was one of these things where one guy should really be dominating. It looked like Trent Seven was going to demolish this kid. I got to be honest with you. I was shocked at the finish. So Eddie Dennis goes over in this match, and you know, it was a bit of an odd start. You know, the guys didn't have super great chemistry or anything when it came to their work in the ring. You know, the crowd was super into it, which, you know, took away from any of the little bit of blown spots or some spots that were a little bit wonky. But Dennis seemed to wrestle better than his appearance, which is always good. You know, anorexic Ricky Steamboat really came to play here. So you know, they made a salvageable match out of this, Mark. You know, I don't know if I'll be buying a Eddie Dennis T-shirt at any point, but, you know, it was kind of cool.
Yes, Eddie Dennis defeated Trent Seven in 8 minutes and 15 seconds. And here's what I'll tell you. Here's why this is great despite being mediocre, okay? What's great about it is it was less than 10 minutes.
Yes.
What's great about it is they didn't try to open up the show with the main event.
Exactly.
They started you off with a traditionally solid match. And just to make sure people weren't like, just get to the good parts already. And just to make sure they weren't my son yelling, when does the guy get hit by a car? Different story. A wrestling event, but mind you, but a different story altogether. I'm sorry I told him about it. Because for 3 hours, all I had to hear was, when does Jimmy Lloyd hit whatever the hell his name is with a car? All right. But enough about Game Changer Wrestling. This was a solid opener that led to a very eye-catching holy shit spot. My only complaint about this is that should have been the end of the match.
You're talking about the Razor's Edge?
Yeah, the Razor's Edge to the outside that done killed a guy. I'm not sure if he was a cameraman or what he was doing. He may have been looking for directions on how to get to London, but he...
a whole lot of Trent Seven on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Eddie Dennis fired Trent Seven at him like a gun.
That's a lot of ammunition.
Yes, sir. And so the way Eddie, the way Trent Seven took that bump, I don't know how much of it was he was protected and just made it look good, and how much of it was he done, you know, rang his bell. Either way, that should have been the end. But Trent, you know, Trent Seven got back in the ring, and it the way it should have gone down was Trent Seven gets back in the ring, immediately gets caught by Eddie Dennis. Eddie Dennis does a finisher on him. One, two, three, we're done. But instead, and this is a tendency in modern pro wrestling that I wish would change quickly, is, you know, no, is staying too long. Now, this didn't get to the AEW offensive route where they should have ended the match 30 minutes ago. And so this is like a minor quibble, but he pinned him. Trent Seven kicks out. He hits him with another thingy, and then he pinned him. And it was like, why was that necessary?
You know what? Starting out, I mean, this was a night of kickouts. I mean, every single match had a unbelievable amount of kickouts. I mean, even this match, I mean, it was kickout after kickout after kickout. I think one of the lessons that we think we're going to learn from NXT is that, like AEW, there's a lot of repetition in their, you know, in-ring work. And I think we have to get to the point where we got to understand that maybe a squash match is not a bad thing. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. It's like I thought both guys got their shit in, but once they did the holy shit spot, like, you've did it. You logically, I feel like you got to where the match needed to go, and then, you know, to your point, you're done. Stop.
There needs to become a point where a finisher is a finishing move once again. Right now, yeah, we're out of that altogether. We've lost that, and we need to get back to that because we're losing what a finisher is. I mean, back in the let's take us back to the 80s where, you know, a Hulk Hogan big boot and a leg drop was a finish every single time. And the only time that it didn't happen was when the belt changed hands, you know, with right. with the Ultimate Warrior, you know what I mean? It meant something. The Randy Savage elbow drop, the same thing. The only time when it didn't work was when shit was going down. But right now we're at a point where finishers finish nobody unless you're Roman Reigns and you got to give somebody like 500 spears to finish somebody. You know what I mean? It's a bit ridiculous.
Oh, Chris, 900 Canadian destroyers in a row don't finish people.
Not even a giant. No, I'm not going to talk about Piper Niven yet. I swore I wouldn't.
So. Yeah, we'll get there. But that's it. That was my minor quibble because the whole thing was, it was fine. Oh my God. And then I was waiting for it to end, and then it goes like another move too long. You know, and it's one of those where it's like if you go to see a band and they hit their last song, you know, Metallica plays Enter Sandman, and you're like, all right, that was great. And they're like, all right, we're going to come out and do an encore. And for our encore, it's Master of Puppets. Cool. And then they leave, and they're like, okay, I'm satisfied. I saw the good ones. I can, oh shit, they're back out again. And then, you know, and then they just sit on the stage, and James Hetfield's like, here's a little song I wrote. Might want to sing it note for note. What are you doing? Just stop.
Just wrap it up, man. We gotta do, I don't know. I think we've lost something in wrestling where there's no concept of time or space anymore. And it just becomes every single match is like a main event at the Tokyo Dome. You know, it's
yeah.
Everybody's kicking out of everything.
Right.
And there is no need for a match starring Eddie Dennis and Trent Seven to go anywhere close to 8 minutes and 16 seconds. That's all
I'm
saying.
Could you imagine the first WrestleMania, you know, Tito Santana comes out to kick things off, and 30 minutes into it, he's still going with Schnavitz, whoever the hell he wrestled?
Didn't he wrestle, I think he wrestled Doink the Clown, the Executioner, Matt Bourne, I think.
Maybe. Yeah. It's been over 30 events since I saw the first WrestleMania.
Okay, you know...
Go ahead.
I've got nothing to say.
Okay.
Keep going.
Kaylee Ray, your NXT Women's Champion, NXT UK Women's Champion, defeated...
She's not my NXT UK Champion, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I'm trying to be nice. Defeated Blonde wrestler number 87 in Piper Niven. All right. There's a lot of snarky jokes here I can make about all three of these women. I've already made one about Toni Storm, and I believe I've hit my limit.
I'll back it up to you. So you have Toni Storm, like you said, now blonde wrestler, blonde girl number 87, and then you had extremely obese Piper Niven, who literally frightened me coming to the ring. I mean, this girl was always large. Okay, she's always had, and that was part of her charm. She looked like, you know, Adele, basically. You know what I mean? But anyway, this girl stormed down to the ring, and boy, she was like tons of fun coming to that ring, Mark.
Here's my defense of Piper Niven, okay? Other than, you know, fat shaming Chris Jericho is one thing. He's supposed to be in better shape than he's dressing and presenting himself.
So good point. So Chris Jericho was actually on Twitter, like, with his shirt off, taking pictures saying how great this guy looks. And then he gets in the ring. I don't know if he's in a parallel universe when he's taking these pictures of himself, but that guy looks nothing like his pictures when he gets in the ring. He looks like, I don't know, he looks like a dad after, you know, a long vacation. And
he looks like Trevor Murdoch.
Yes!
But here's the thing. Let's take Piper Niven and let's take, say, King Kong Bundy. Okay? King Kong Bundy was a big dude. He presented as a big dude. He wrestled as a big dude. It would be wrong to make fun of him for his body shape when that's kind of his gimmick.
Exactly.
That, you know, maybe not even kind of. That is his gimmick. Piper Niven, I don't know much about her, but she obviously wrestles as this big gal. It's not like, you know, it's like Otis from Heavy Machinery or trying to think of some of these, you know, other Dave Mastiff.
Yes.
You know,
that's a good one. Yeah, there you go.
There are just, you know, for lack of a better word, fat wrestlers. But, you know, fat in shape wrestlers, they can move. Keith Lee. Keith Lee is not in shape. Okay.
Nope. No, but you know what? It's fun, and it's funny you say that, because Keith Lee gets a pass in the fat department. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's like, he's barrel-chested. Oh, my God. Yes, Keith Lee is such an... No, Keith Lee's fucking fat. Stop it.
Yes, but, yes. But, and Piper Niven comes to the ring, and we're like, oh, my God. Look
right.
How fat he is.
So, like, you know, Keith Lee gets lauded for his athletic ability. Otis, no, you know, no one says anything about that. It's just, you know... Like, if you're a fat guy and you're wrestling as a fat guy, as long as you can get up and move and you're an athlete, it's like, it's okay. Well, we like different shapes in wrestling. Well, then that's not fair, then, to make fun of Piper Niven for her weight when that's what she is. You know what I mean?
But I agree, but I think if she used her weight as her gimmick, as her whole thing, and we saw some sequences of it, so, I mean, like, you get to see... Kaylee Ray, she goes for her gory bomb that she uses every now and then. And, of course, she can't get her off. And, you know, there's a number of spots like that with Niven in the match. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So she is using the weight thing. But, of course, then she breaks out things like the Canadian Destroyer. She's going to the top rope. She's doing planches to the outside. Very sloppy ones, by the way. I mean, if I saw Piper Niven coming at me, I'd head for the hills, man. Because that thing is... That thing coming to the ropes at me. I don't know. I'm running, brother. I don't know about you.
I'm okay with Piper Niven. I'm not... I don't know what else... If her thing is she's female King Kong Bundy, for lack of a better phrase,
yep,
then that's fine. Be female King Kong Bundy, and hey, he certainly made a career of it. Why can't she? But I don't know if there's anything more to her than that. Yeah, it says that Toni Storm is random blonde girl... And I don't know what Kaylee Ray is.
She is like the girl who sits on a corner that you pay $10 for a blowjob. That's what she is. Okay. Bad start to the new network, okay? I apologize.
So a hooker, a fat ass, and a leather fetish just walk into a bar, and a match breaks out.
Kaylee Ray? Kaylee Ray was in a fortunate position because Toni Storm needed time off. She had just won the belt, or recently won the belt off Rhea Ripley, and she needed time off. So, of course, good old Kaylee Ray, they used the best friends angle, and, you know, they had Kaylee Ray go rogue on her former friend and take the belt, which baffles me because I thought this was going to be the pay-per-view where Toni Storm just took the damn thing back, but I guess not.
We'll get into the actual dynamics of the match in just a second, but my problem with Kaylee Ray is kind of the same problem I had with Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai, where they're just girls. They're girls in bright clothes, and I don't know, you know, like, Rhea Ripley has a very distinct look, a very distinct style. When she talks about things, there's a sense of who she is personality-wise. Shayna Baszler is your ex-MMA, she's a female Matt Riddle, you know? Bianca Belair has a very distinct character. Io Shirai has a very distinct character. Before they became the Iconics, those three gals that I just mentioned, Kaylee Ray, Dakota Kai, and Tegan Nox, kind of reminded me of, I forgot their name, Peyton Royce and the other gal, who are in the Iconics, where they're just girls from another country who are coming out and wrestling in bright tights. I don't know what they are. And so
exactly,
when I see Kaylee Ray come out, and I'm like, I get you're a heel, and you do this side-to-side lean thing, but what are you? You know? Like, what's your gimmick? What's your character? You know, your motivation, I guess, is to win matches, but isn't that everyone's motivation? Is that people coming out here like, I'm just here to look, you know, like, what? So I had a little trouble getting into this. I mean, Toni Storm at least has a distinct look, but I mean, Dakota Kai, before she turned evil, Tegan Nox and Kaylee Ray could all be sharing outfits. I wouldn't know who belonged to what.
Exactly.
They all dress the same.
Yep. And what do we know about Kaylee Ray except she was Toni Storm's best friend and now she's got a little bit of a heel side to her, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not even a great heel. It's just like she's a snotty Brit. We'll say that's about all we know about her.
Which would be fine if you're in a company full of Americans, but you're on the British show.
Oh boy, and boy is she British. She's like Coronation Street with the volume turned up to 20. I don't know. I could hardly understand her. She had one of those inset promos prior to her match, and I guess, you know, she was supposed to say a promo, but I know, listen, Mark, I know I have an accent, but this girl can hardly speak English.
She's Scottish. I don't think that helps.
Oh, Scottish. Okay, well, I mean, were you able to decipher? You live in the U.S. Were you able to decipher what the poor girl was trying to say?
No, I'm not going to lie. She's fucking Willy from The Simpsons to me.
Exactly.
All right. So, you've got her. You've got random blonde girl in leather and spikes, which I at least like her look. She's interesting. She's something different. She's not just wearing neon.
She got the sort of the post-apocalyptic rock gear going on now. Toni Storm, we're talking about right now.
Yeah, she looked like she walked out of a Motley Crue video.
Yeah.
So, honestly, if her and Candice LeRae were... I made the joke on Twitter. I was like, I hope Candice LeRae and Toni Storm get selected for the next Saudi Arabian show. Just to keep the gimmick going of blondes who you can't tell apart when they're, you know, dressed in burkas and shit.
Boy, I don't think we're going to see a Blood Money pay-per-view anytime soon. I don't know.
No, they've already booked the next one.
Holy Jesus, when?
Tell you what, you give me your impressions of this match, and I'll look it up.
Of this match?
Yes.
Oh yeah, so basically we had a three-way match. I mean, you know, basic, and I mean extremely basic chemistry between all the folks. You had Piper Niven doing her... you know, larger chick, you know, the other girls couldn't toss her around. But they were doing some outside of the ring bumps, so we had Niven doing some splashes to the outside. We had Kaylee Ray, you know, throwing around poor old, her best friend, old Toni Storm. So the match itself wasn't terrible. You know, nonstop action, just your typical three-way, really. There was lots of wild spots, I mean. But Kaylee Ray actually retains the title. So Toni Storm, God bless her, gets up and tries her best Eddie Guerrero with the frog splash on Niven and actually hits it, and it wasn't terrible. But Kaylee Ray comes out of nowhere, super kicks her, bang, steals the pin.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In and Kaylee Ray is still your champion, so... I wasn't a super fan of this match, Mark, but, you know, it definitely served a purpose. I think all three girls got something, but I think before they hit prime time, before they hit the Raw and the SmackDown, there's a lot of work to do with Niven, and definitely a lot of work with Kaylee Ray. We really got to see something outside of the gimmick she currently has. So, you know, three good wrestlers, really, really good match for a three-way. No real complaints. It just wasn't super exciting. It seemed to get stuck in second gear and never really got to, get up to first. But very more than passable, we'll say.
I liked this match. I liked the psychology of it because Toni Storm and Piper Niven are friends, but they both have an eye on the prize, and this is supposed to be a competitive environment. So I like the fact that, like, I'm not going to let the fact that I have a friend in this match deter me from what my ultimate goal is. That's not what this is about. And so Toni Storm and Piper Niven would occasionally work together against Kaylee Ray. But then when Kaylee Ray was disabled, they would go at each other. And there was a lot of that throughout the match, which I liked. They're all pretty competent wrestlers, as near as I can tell. I didn't see anyone do anything that was tremendously sloppy or dangerous. Piper Niven is pretty agile for a bigger gal. I thought she used her size well. I know there's in terms of in-ring psychology and movesets, that if you're of the bigger persuasion, you're not supposed to be doing, like, lucha shit. But it's also 2020, and, you know, people do all kinds of dives and nonsense. I figure if, like I said, if Otis from Heavy Machinery can get away with it at this point, I don't want to see it every match, and I don't want to see it every other move. And Piper Niven should never do another Canadian Destroyer as long as she lives. Like, cut it out. No, first of all, no one should be doing the Canadian Destroyer anymore. But that being said, did I lose you, Chris? That being said, like I said, I thought it was a solid match. It didn't go too long. I mean, if you really want to be picky about it, it probably should have been closer to 10 than 15 minutes, and this thing ends in about 13:10. So, yeah, whatever. So. It was inoffensive. And I thought everybody put a competent effort. To answer the other question, February 20th. That is when they go back to... It's either the 20th or the 27th, according to the Forbes article that I'm looking at.
Oh, boy. Don't these people understand? The Middle East is not safe, people. It is not safe. Please do not go right now. I think that's pretty clear. Pretty clear and evident.
It'll be fine.
I hope so.
All right.
I want to talk about the Canadian Destroyer for a second.
Yes. That's why I thought I lost you, because I didn't get anything from you, and I figured you'd be like, yeah, praise Jesus, brother.
So I muted myself, and I was talking to myself, and I had a very good discussion about the Canadian Destroyer, but nobody heard it, so I'll tell it to you now. Anyway... when it gets to the point where you have Piper Niven, she's executing a very well done Canadian destroyer for Canadian destroyer fans. But, you know, how many people are doing it this day and age? Every single person. I watched NWA Power and watched Ricky Morton execute one. Ricky yep. Morton is doing a Canadian destroyer. Everyone in an armory. Like, I attend, like, local shows here and all that, do some announcing work and things like that nature. You'll see the Canadian destroyer 2 to 3 times a night. It's way, way, way overused. It's ineffective. It actually pins nobody right now. And think about a time when Petey Williams broke that thing out on TNA Wrestling many years ago. And, I mean, the wrestling audience stood on its head. They were like, what did we just see? You know, it was a crushing finisher. Nobody kicked out of that thing. Now, all of a sudden, it's an arm lock. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, I understand that this is, to a degree, performance art. And we've talked about that before. Wrestling is sort of the Harlem Globetrotters of combat sports.
Exactly.
But I also have seen real sports, and I've seen people get kicked in the head. I have seen people get knocked out with a clean punch. And if you... And Chris Bailey, if I jump in the air and somersault you into a pile driver, I might kill you, let alone knock you out.
Yes, you should. You should. I should be dead. If you gave me a Canadian destroyer, I should be dead, regardless if I'm Canadian. But I should be dead.
And the fact that it's now like a transition move as if it were an armbar.
Yes, it is literally the vertical suplex of moves right now.
Yeah, it's a fucking hip toss.
Yes.
And I never want to see it again. And here's the thing. The reason why it worked with Petey Williams was because he was a smaller dude.
Absolutely.
So guys like Rey Mysterio, you know, that whole like lucha set from back in, you know, the late 90s, WCW, early 2000s, it made sense for the smaller cruiserweight guys to be able to do moves where you're flipping a guy into a thingy. Because they're, you know, they were lighter, more agile, athletic people. Like, Kevin Nash, I'm sure, could have done one. But why would you do that?
Right, so that's another piece of psychology that we got to talk about. So there's a reason when somebody comes to the big stage on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown that their move set is intentionally limited, because you don't want to see repetition in matches. And that's one of the big, you know, big things that Vince McMahon pushes on his show. So that's why when you see AJ Styles come from TNA to WWE, his move set is cut down considerably.
Right. It also stretches credulity.
Okay, that's a big word. That's a big word us Canadians don't understand. Go ahead and explain.
Okay. So when Rey Mysterio does it to Psychosis, Psychosis is 30 pounds.
Right. Soaking wet with a concrete block tied to his foot.
Right. Agreed. With bowling balls tied to his dick, Rey Mysterio can flip this guy on his head. And he can do it to Rey Mysterio. Dean Malenko is about my son's height. Okay. So when he's flipping, and Chris Benoit is flipping, and Chris Jericho is flipping, it's believable. When Rikishi does it, it's not believable anymore. And that's not to say, like, these bigger guys are... I mean, we just went into a whole thing about, you know, the athleticism of some of our bigger people. But it gets to a point where it's like, this clearly... Here's the thing. The Canadian Destroyer looks like it murders somebody, right?
It does.
Devoid of all other context.
And Piper Niven really, really made it look good. I'll give her that.
Yeah,
no. The execution of the move in that match was fantastic. So,
but that's my point. It's one of those moves where when you see little guys do it to little guys, it looks like it fucking murders them. But no normal-sized person should be able to do that to another normal-sized person. Let alone a big fatso doing it to a normal-sized person. And when they can do it, it's like, okay, well, now I don't believe in the movement. That's what I mean by it stretches credulity. I no longer believe that the move you're doing is real. And when you can't convince... And I understand people like, it's fucking wrestling. Okay, but is it wrestling? Or is it a gymnastics routine? And if it's a gymnastics fucking routine, I only need to see one of these, and I'm good for the night. You see what I'm saying?
Bingo. Bingo. Psychology 101. So, listen, if you do the move over and over and over, the specialness of the move is gone and destroyed. Literally, Canadian Destroyer destroys itself. I mean, it's basic math. You can't have the same move set in every single match and expect to have a unique match and have the crowd respond. Even though it is a UK crowd and they're hot for pretty well everything, it just kills everything. You're murdering the business doing this. And this is why Vince McMahon protected movesets so much over the years. And it's for this reason. And another move, you know what is crazy? When I really look back at this pay-per-view, there's three moves that are done in almost every match. So Toni Storm in this one breaks out, what's her finisher called? The Storm Zero. So she hits Storm Zero, which is basically a sit-out powerbomb. Okay? That was done in almost every single match on this show, believe it or not. And the Michinoku Driver. So those are three transition moves, Canadian Destroyer, Storm Zero, and the Michinoku Driver, which you've seen in almost every match on this show. So I don't know if it's a booking thing, a philosophy, but NXT really needs to fix that.
Well, here's the problem. If you've watched enough New Japan, if you watch enough AEW, there's a part of the wrestling audience that doesn't buy into the conversation that we're having right now and just wants to see
City outside, they want to see.
Competitive gymnastics.
Yes, that's exactly right. I swear to God that even Adam Page's horse jumped inside the ring and did it to the outside. Picture that, folks.
Oh, he's landed on Kenny Omega. Anyway, and then Pentagon punched it in the face, a la Blazing Saddles.
Oh, well done. That's a gimmick waiting to happen right there.
I hope so. Now I want to see Pentagon punch Adam Adam Page's horse. All right. Here to wrap this up, so we can move on to the next match. What I'm saying here is that. I understand that the audience right now doesn't have the attention to kind of get through a match that actually looks like wrestling. Because what is wrestling? If you've ever actually done it, wrestling is grappling, trying to grab a hold of a limb and twist it, or turn the guy to their back and pin them.
It's catch-as-catch-can, Mark. It's catch-as-catch-can wrestling.
Well, I mean, people are like, ah, boy, are you, you know... Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit did this WrestleMania 17. British Bulldog, Owen Hart, Germany, Monday Night Raw for the European title.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle in their cage match were able to pull a lot of that off. They can do it. You can have a wrestling match that looks like actual wrestling. The problem is, I think the audience right now is conditioned to see competitive, like, combat gymnastics. And so it's like, I think they're trying to figure out where's the line between the audience expectation for nonsense and trying to tell and trying to put together matches that aren't going to kill the business in 5 years.
Nailed it. Exactly right.
And I think they're struggling, because this match is a great example of, oh, where's that line? We're trying to find it. We didn't find it.
AEW was proud on this particular night. That's all I'll say.
So, good match, good psychology. Stop doing the Canadian Destroyer. Stop letting big people do the Canadian Destroyer, especially. And, you know, find...
And for God's sakes, get Piper Niven... Like one size up, so the poor girl was not flip-flopping all over the place there. Good Lord.
You know, I was looking at her outfit, and she just wore, like, a basic bathing suit top. It was very, like, Rockin' Robin, Fabulous Moolah, 1980s gear. It was just shiny. It's whatever. I think about, like, Awesome Kong or Nyla Rose, who the seamstress who make their outfits give them stuff that kind of hides their body shape a little bit. And I'll tell you what, actually, watching Kong on the last couple of AEW shows, Kong looks like she's lost some weight.
Absolutely she has. Thank goodness. When she was Karma in WWE, she was way too big.
Yeah. But even then, she wore, like, fucking battle armor.
Oh,
know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
And if that's the look you want, it where everyone can see every inch of your body and leave nothing to the imagination, okay. Or, and I'm just going to throw this out there, look at Nyla Rose, look at Kong, look at some other bigger gals in wrestling. I mean, Jordynne Grace can get away with it because while she's kind of chunky and stout, she also seems to have at least in the outfit that she wears, she seems to have like a flatter belly. Like, she looks, yes. She has, like, weightlifter body.
Yeah, no, listen, I've got no problem with Jordynne Grace. She looks great, actually. Mm-hmm. I think that build is definitely something that's going to do her well, but Piper Niven was never that big either, man. I mean, we've seen her in the Cruiserweight, or not the Cruiserweight Championship, the women's title thing and all that stuff that they were getting ready, the Mae Young Classic, and, I mean, she was not that big. She's on the verge of getting immobile here, man, with her size.
All right, let's move on to our first plus 20 match of the evening.
Yes, sir.
The unbeatable Tyler Bate defeated Jordan Devlin. And like I said, since I'm not as familiar with the product, I don't really know what a Jordan Devlin is. But boy, do I know what a Tyler Bate is. And apparently this guy can kick out of a gunshot to the head.
This match was so good, I forgave all the sins that I just talked about in the first two matches. I was like, I don't care. I don't care if they do the same 500 moves. This match was excellent, and I love Tyler Bate. That's simple.
I think Tyler Bate has a good look for a midget.
You can't say that, sir. Little people. Let's get it right. God, man. 2020 here.
5'7". Good Christ. Just looking
it's
at
funny
his
you
height.
Said that, because I think one of the comments I sent you on Twitter was that poor old Jordan Devlin has the facial features of a midget. I mean, little person. He looks like he's fresh off like a TLC show or something. I don't know.
Jordan Devlin is 5'10". Practically a giant by comparison.
I don't know.
It's
anyway.
Whatever. Here's the thing. They've booked Tyler Bate in such a way that despite his height and everything else, he has enough charisma and presence that he comes off like an unbeatable star. I buy that he's that tough. I really don't have a problem with that. I thought these guys told a match that was full of struggle, that was full of competitiveness. I was into it. They really had me. The problem was, as it got to about 20 minutes, and I put this out on Twitter, this got to the point where it was starting to get silly.
Yes.
There comes a point in a match where, and again, I'm going to go back to the actual combat sports versus sports performance. You can't, you know, if you're going into professional wrestling, you know you're going to get a degree of that. So like a James Bond movie, you have to suspend your disbelief. But if you go too far, you're taken out of it and you realize it's just a performance. It's not a competitive match. And it's hard to pin that line down at times. I think it's very hard sometimes to kind of figure out where the line is. And that's why I kind of prefer shorter matches to longer matches. And this one was there. It was like right at that line. And they ended it, give or take, a minute or two past where that line was. But because it was still so close to the border, it was like, okay, this is still passable. This didn't turn into a full-blown circus routine. I think shave about 2 minutes off of this, and I think you have a solid... And I did put this on Twitter. I thought this is a match of the year candidate. I absolutely, absolutely love this match. I thought these guys put in a great effort. Everything made sense. It was logical. I really, like I said before, I really felt like they were struggling with each other and that, you know, it wasn't just a dance. It just went a little too long, and that's really my only big criticism of it. You know, it didn't get to the stupid it didn't get too far into stupid to where I was like, stop already.
I agree.
Last thing, and I'll surrender the microphone so you can have an opportunity to talk. Patton Oswalt made a joke about, I want to say it was like, the joke is a clown is just a transvestite that's gone too far.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's like, oh, there's a guy wearing makeup. Oh, watch this. Woo! Oh, it's a wonderful clown now. It's fine. Here, take pictures with my children. And that's kind of how I feel like some of these matches go. It's like, yes, yes, yes. Woo! Oh. You're a different thing now. It's not a match. This is the high wire act.
I love it.
Your thoughts, sir?
Well, Tyler Bate is an interesting study, I think, because he's a wrestler who can do every single style, including power wrestling. I've seen this guy put Walter over his head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just a monster. He looks incredibly strong. He's got an awesome wrestler's build. He's got thick legs. He's stiff, scientifically sound in every aspect. I don't know if there's a better wrestler in NXT overall than Tyler Bate. I gotta be honest. I mean,
yeah, he's another one that he definitely has like a weightlifter's musculature without he's
not Brian Cage.
No,
which no. We'll talk about later.
Yeah, he doesn't have Ivan Putski body. but he does. He has. Yeah, I feel like he's got like a bodybuilder's body without being too blown up.
Absolutely. He's like the perfect hybrid of like small wrestler meets bodybuilder.
Yes, yes, very good.
One interesting thing about this that I really did like, so NXT UK does a great job with historical packages. I guess so, you know, I guess where they have a limited roster compared to the main roster of NXT, you know, they sort of have to do a good job of building stories with the people that they have. But they actually went back to the Cruiserweight tournament in 2017. And they showed the match between Bate and Devlin. And Bate actually eliminated Devlin. They used that as part of history. So I was like, right away, I was like, all right. I'm a longtime wrestling fan, and I appreciate details. So when I saw this, I'm like, okay. So there's a built-in reason why there's animosity between these two. You know, he cut Devlin's dream short early on. Bate went on to become the champion, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And in a shocker, by the way, I thought there was absolutely no chance of him winning that tournament overall. But anyway, I was wrong, and I was glad I'm wrong, because they created a star that night, and boy, did they make the right choice with Tyler Bate. But he exists in a bubble, so he doesn't get this reaction when he comes stateside. I mean, he's very popular, let's be honest. In an NXT ring, he works. In an NXT UK ring, he is the main event. In a SmackDown ring, he's forgotten.
No, in a SmackDown ring, he gets beat by Shorty G.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, please. I will break my TV and yours if that happens. I will fly to Florida, find your TV, and smash it for you.
I
promise you.
He is in a television main event with Ali G, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Oh, there's no need. What are we doing here? Anyway, this one went probably two kickouts too long. I will agree. It went like 22 minutes and change. But I loved the match. I was talking to you when I was watching it on Twitter. I was ranking it at about a 7 until the midway point, and then this just exploded. I mean, these guys were stiff. They were leveling each other with all kinds of moves. I mean, everything, including the kitchen sink they threw at each other. They were hitting big moves, power moves, you name it. They had perfect chemistry. I'll agree, match of the year candidate. I don't think there's anything that's touched this at all. Now, I mean, we're only not even a month into the year, of course, but, I mean, wow. just fantastic. Tyler Bate is a star. I love the guy. And the finish, well, Tyler Bate actually won, and he hit that damn top rope corkscrew, man. Like, all the moves that this guy does, and he can hit the cruiserweight moves, like, almost better than anybody out there. So, I mean, Tyler Bate's the full package. Love the match.
He's a very talented guy. I hope Vince McMahon doesn't know he's alive.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hide this guy under the ring. Keep him under there.
Yeah. Please don't include him in the next Survivor Series and let Vince McMahon know he's around.
Keep him out of the Royal Rumble. Keep him out of the Royal Rumble.
Shorty G needs a tag team partner.
Shorty B.
We're going to do all the alphabets.
Oh, man, that's horrible. Someone's going to hear that and do it. You know that's happening.
It's the unpaid intern. All right.
But another cool thing. So Bate wins the match, and they flash to, in the crowd up in the balcony, Triple H, William Regal, and Johnny Saint, and they're all giving him a standing ovation. I thought that was a good little sign. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That was cool. Anyway, people, ladder match time, baby.
The people were, like, giving him shit about that. I'm like, I don't – but why? Like –
Triple H, I think that entire weekend was given shit. I mean, he made some off-color comments about Paige. There was all kinds of stuff that were going on. Did you hear that?
Oh, well, at least he didn't spit at a black woman. Jesus.
Oh, no. But anyway.
Like 8 years ago or whatever it was. Sorry, 2 years ago. Oh, God. Someone's going to be like, it was 2-3 years ago, fucko. You don't even know, you racist. All right.
Triple H was being interviewed, I think, by the UK press over there. And someone had brought up, you know, they'd like to see Edge and Paige return. And he was talking about, you know, people come back for different reasons, for medical, and they'll come back on their own time. And he used Daniel Bryan. You know, this is a guy who wanted to get back into the ring and made it happen. But some guys, like Paige, like Edge, choose to stay home. You know what I mean? And he made a comment, you know, what's Edge doing? You know, he could be getting ready for another return. And he said, you know, he's home taking care of his kids. And then Paige, and this is where he made the off-color comment, probably has kids running around that she doesn't know about. And boy, that didn't go over well. So Paige was on Twitter blasting her boss. Then her brother got involved. It's a whole thing. It's all over the place right now.
Get lives.
Yes, get lives. It's a joke, people. We joke.
Yes.
Right. Get yes. over it. Stop being butterflies. Buttercups.
Snowflakes, sir.
Yes. Those two. Frosted Flakes.
For God's sake, stop being Fruit Loops. Wait, that's something else.
Whoa. Between midgets and Fruit Loops, what are we talking about here? We're kicked off the network in our first show. This is great, Mark. Good job.
Would you believe that he's heard these shows before and I still got invited to be on the network? Because every once in a while I'll write him and be like, are you okay with some of the shit I say? Like, yeah, you're fine. Okay.
Yeah, are you sure? Okay, we'll push that boundary.
All right, let me see how many people I can upset. I think this isn't a sign
to upset you all.
So the Kapow, the pop culture podcast, has been doing something related to Lock and Key, the comic. And coming very soon on Netflix is the Lock and Key series. They've actually released a trailer. So Jesse, being Jesse, extended an invitation from the guys from Kapow to come on Source Material and talk Lock and Key, since, you know, they're obviously very enthusiastic about it. And one of the guys was like, yeah, I'm not coming on a show with Mark. Everything you like, I'm going to ruin. Rattlitch.
Ooh, boy.
I left, and he was, and it was all in good fun. But I was like, ha, that's what I'm known as now. Because I believe that's... with reference to Star Wars, I believe that's what I said recently, is, hey, everything you like, I'm just going to ruin it.
Yeah, I think you said that. I think you were making that point at me. I think you... I took that to heart. Mark just said, everything that I like is shit and garbage, and I should get a life, or something along those lines.
Well, yes, well said.
Good thing we're friends.
Speaking of friends, Gallus... defeated Imperium, the Grizzled Young Veterans. I love that team, by the way. The Grizzled Young Veterans and my other favorite tag team, Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster. Quick apology to Flash Morgan Webster. I referred to him as Flash Morgan Andrews on Twitter. But the sentiment was still the same. Please don't die. Holy God.
Oh, man, he took the bump of bumps on this show.
Yeah, like, I don't know what was going on in the mind of Webster, what someone told him backstage, but he was just like, I have to kill myself tonight.
I'm gonna fucking do it.
I'm gonna do it for Alan Moore and Firestorm. yeah, this guy... It's like, just when you think you've seen it all in ladder matches, some nut job decides he's going to dive off a ladder and do a small drinking glass. It's insane.
It is one of the most messed up moves I've ever seen. And I think they even made a point of saying, Jeff Hardy, eat your heart out type of thing. You know what
yes.
I mean? Because it was nuts. It was crazy.
Yeah. Not since the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks from last year have I seen a match where I legit thought the guy in it was dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. This entire match was just a nut show altogether. I mean, we've seen ladder matches before. We've seen tag team ladder matches, multiple man. But they had so many ladders in this match. I was wondering where the ring went. It looked like an industrial park in that ring, man. It was full of metal.
I'll tell you what. I would have bet money that Imperium was going to win going into Worlds Collide. So, you know, you would have had the two top stables in both companies having all the belts going head-to-head at Worlds Collide. That was where the smart money was. But, you know, swerve, brah. They kept it on Gallus for whatever their reasons were. Ugh. And I'll tell you what, like, you know, I don't really have... I mean, Gallus looks fine. They look like everybody on this card looks like tough, competitive... people, so Gallus, I don't know.
Gallus are like they're bruisers, backlap bruisers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've got that look of they're tough motherfuckers.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's a lot of hosses in this company between them, Walter, Joe Coffey, Dave Mastiff, Cassius Ohno, Trent Seven. You know, there's just some big old.
Cassius Ohno?
Is a big burly fellow.
That's about it.
I'm not talking about ability level. I'm talking size and presentation. This is just a butcher shop full of prime meat. you know, even the little guys like Tyler Bates, you know, there's just beefy dude. Everyone looks like fucking versions of Stan Hansen. Like Stan Hansen, you know, just went crazy at a brothel and had a whole bunch of kids. And they all showed up in NXT for some odd reason. It's a crazy thing. Poor Flash Morgan, looks like the creamy filling inside of a fucking beefy Oreo. And it's just all just surrounded. Like, oh gosh. Everyone looks like JBL.
It's true. They all do. They must be Mandalorians. They're all clones of JBL. Different costumes and facial hair.
This is the way. anyway, so I Gallus is fine. Before this match, I didn't really think much of them either way. I just knew they were there. And again, I don't follow the product closely enough to really have an opinion one way or the other. But when one of them speared one of the guys from Imperium through the ladder and broke it in half, I shrieked in my living room. I was like, ah!
Wait, <what? laughs> I know. So we've seen a ton of people land on ladders, but to see one physically crack in half was great. And they even, it had to be gimmicked, of course, but, I mean, they even showed up, they showed a close-up shot of the ladder. And, I mean, it didn't look gimmicked, bro, I'll tell you that.
No, it looked like he broke that motherfucker clean in half. And again, it wasn't like And it wasn't like somebody fell from the high up heights, threw it, and broke it. It was leaning in a corner. There was not a lot of room for this thing to bend and then break. And then this fucking son of Rhino comes barreling through and breaks the thing in half with the guy from Imperium in his way. Like,
man.
Yeah. At that point, I was like, just give him the belts. Like, just send wake the guy from the Eddie Dennis match up and send him up the ladder and go get those belts and just hand them to Gallus. They deserve it.
There was a lot of stuff going on, so psychology was probably out the door in this match because there was a lot of building. There was a lot of building erector sets for different moves and stunts. So there was a lot of setting up of moves. You know what I mean? There was a lot of that, and I think that was my only detraction from this match was there was a lot of building in this match. So people were propping ladders into the corner and then setting one up straight and then setting one up sideways and placing them on so they've got like a pyramid built. You know what I mean? There was a lot of that going on, and that took away from some of the action, but when you physically see the stunts that were pulled off on these things, all sins were forgiven. So, and Gallus came out first, so normally that throws you off. That says, okay, if the champions are coming out first, they're dropping the straps. That's normal, regular. If you watch wrestling for years, you know that the champion usually comes out second or shit is going down. So that's why, you know, you think that Imperium is going to win that tag title or something along those lines. You know what I mean? So Gallus coming out first, and then Gallus winning was a shock to me, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And after all the stuff that they did with all the falls, flippity-doos and falls from heaven, Christ itself, then they just sort of throw someone off the ladder and grab the belts. It was sort of anticlimactic, the ending, but overall, when you look back on it, it was probably the right finish.
Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster reminded me of Daffy Duck as Dick Tracy surrounded by all the villains.
Yeah, I agree.
Just looking around going, noodle face, hammerhead! You know, it's just like, and then all like six guys fucking jumped on him. There was nothing but smoke and random limbs coming out.
That is a perfect analogy. I love it.
With that said, yeah, there was some degree of psychology in this besides, you know, building erector sets. And I want to get to that in just a second, but the psychology of this was, and I actually thought this was smart because I'd have to go back and review some old ladder matches, but I feel like no one ever thinks, like, you know, go to the ladder together. One guy guard, the other guy climb.
Exactly.
And there was a lot of that in this match. There was a lot of, like, one guy guard the ladder, the other guy try to climb it, and then they had to figure out how to get around that in order to continue the match until it was time for it to end. And I actually really like that. I like the fact that, you know, it's like the cage match where I think it was Randy Orton.
I was just going to say it. Yes, go ahead.
Where he, like, dove for the fucking door, like, as soon as it started.
Yes, that's what you would do. And, like, I always thought, and as a kid, I was, like, watching Hulk Hogan and Paul Orndorff, and that was the steel cage match of my generation, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I loved it, I thought it was great, but I always thought in the back of my mind, Jesus, why doesn't just Hogan, as soon as Orndorff climbs the cage, just walk out the door? And it was the same with this psychology. They had all these ladders set up, and instead of somebody guarding and protecting the ladder, you had three ladders set up, and, like, three teams were climbing ladders, and nobody was knocking each other off. It was the most ridiculous thing, you know what I mean? But it's all, I know it was setting up bumps and setting up all this stuff, but it's those little things, those nuances that I think take away from the match. Like, why are you allowing another team who's right next to you to climb that ladder at the same time you are? It's the same thing. It's the same steel cage thing. Why aren't you going for the door?
Yeah, this isn't like The Rock and Triple H, where The Rock would climb the ladder and suddenly get arthritis. So he couldn't grab the belt. When there was nobody around to stop him.
Oh, boy, do I hate that. When somebody is standing on the ladder and clearly they have the belt in their hand and they have the delay because somebody is either not in position or something like that, Jesus, that kills the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Suddenly their arm cramps up. It's like, oh, tennis elbow.
I'm so injured. It's too hot.
I'm going to fall. Like, what? Like three runs up. God, the Rock Triple H SummerSlam ladder match drove me fucking insane for that reason. I was like, this is a bunch of phony baloney bullshit.
They went too far. That was a great example of going through the motions in a ladder match, and it should never be. And that's what Hell in a Cell matches are now, man.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey, let's get Shane McMahon on top of a cage. Let's have a propped up dummy spot where he's going to jump off. You know, it's paint by numbers. You know how it's going to end.
Yeah, overall, I love this match. I mean, it's not like it's one of those where I can't say it's like match of the year because essentially it was a stunt show. But given there are 700 million ladder matches out there, I thought they pulled this one off well, and it was just innovative enough that it captured my interest, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was going to make a point about relative to the death matches I've been watching lately.
Oh, what are you watching? What death matches are you into?
Well, they
classic
had
FMW.
Well, no, the new stuff. I've been watching this ICW New York No Holds Barred event that was on. Oh, that was it. I was watching this and I was noticing that, like, in order to get a guy to get into like the next spot, you know, they would, one guy would do something to the other guy and then would spend like the next 15 minutes fucking setting up. Like, oh, okay, now I remember where I was going with this. It took me a minute. So, Chris Bailey, I'm going to teach you something. Ooh. When you see a bunch of nonsense in the ring that they're going to use to cause damage to the opponent, there's a word for this. It's a vocabulary word. You ready?
Go. Shoot.
Fuckery.
There was a lot of fuckery in this match.
There was a lot of fuckery in this match. And when I saw the modern art piece that they had made out of the one latch that was stretched across like a bridge and three ladders next to each other, and then another, you know, and Mallory's boyfriend was there soldering it all together from family ties.
Mallory's boyfriend? You mean Nick?
Yeah, that's the one.
Hey, Mallory.
Yes.
There you go, family ties fans.
Yes, Nick was, yes, for everyone over 40 who's listening to this, that they got a chuckle out of that.
He's an artist. He has a job.
That's right. So, yes, he was there making modern art, and they were all dancing on it. And I wanted to take a picture and just post it, and it was like one word, fuckery. That's what all that was. Now we can move on. I got that joke. I crossed that one off my list.
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Great, great education.
And in our main event, your champion and mine, Big Strong Boy. I love the fact that my wife has now watched enough of this with me that if I say, hey, Walter's wrestling, she just yells out, Big Strong Boy.
Big Strong Boy, Big Strong Boy.
This is how you make a marriage work, everybody. You have to know each other's gimmicks. I also told her, she also knows that whenever SCU comes out, she has to yell out, this is the worst town I've ever been to. I have her trained well. Walter defeated Joe Coffey by submission. I like this match. This was, I refer to it as Hossamania.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it was just two big, beefy, fucking, who gives a shit, punch you in the face, as Jim Ross would say, with your soup bowls, dudes, just going at it. And when Walter couldn't defeat Coffey with power moves, he went to the submissions, and, you know, it was different enough from what we saw in the previous matches that it stood out, but it was solid, it was brutal. People were like, this was the match of the year. I don't think this was as good as Tyler Bate versus Jordan Devlin, but talking...
Who's saying that this is match of the year? Who? I need their email addresses. It was Twitter handles.
So go look it up on Twitter. There are people like... People who thought this was the best match of the night, and I'm like, no. It was not bad by any means. It was great. This was not better than Tyler Bate versus Jordan Devlin. This was just fine.
It was better than Eddie Dennis and Trent Seven. It was. And it was probably better than the women's match, but that's where it sits.
There's no probably. It was.
Yes, absolutely.
And
why
can't...
is Joe Coffey in my main event? By the way, why?
Because they needed somebody there, and Cassius Ohno was wrestling Dave Mastiff on a dark match.
Where he belongs.
Not a fan of Cassius Ohno, are you?
Oh, Oh, no. What a horrible gimmick. Anyway, poor Chris Hero.
Yeah, I like this match. I like Walter. But the best is yet to come. Because the setup for our Worlds Collide show a week from Saturday, the Undisputed Era, the best stable in modern wrestling going right now, attacked, laid out Imperium, laid out Walter, and stood tall. And then when everyone went to give him the boom, they said, no, we're heels, you dumb fucks. Limey fucks.
Tell me something. Was there anything any more over in NXT UK than when Undisputed showed up? Holy shit, that place came unglued.
Yeah, it's so hard because they're supposed to be the bad guys, but they're like the NWO.
They are literally the NWO. A more respectful NWO. These guys, what I like about Undisputed is that their entire gimmick is that they're literally Undisputed. They're the best. So technically sound, fantastic wrestlers, every single one of them. Every single one of them have credibility. There's none of these Kevin Nashes who's got busted knees and Scott Hall with drug problems. These guys are pro wrestlers from the word go, and they're respected. And I think people get behind that, especially the NXT crowd. I mean, these guys are God among men when it comes to NXT. I'm telling you right now.
What kills me is that Fish and O'Reilly look like cable repairmen. They got nothing going on. But they're the best. They're amazing. I love watching them wrestle. Like, them and the Revival, I'll watch that for an hour.
Me too, bro.
You know, Roderick Strong, who, you know, him and Tyler Bates could have a midget off. It would be very fantastic. Roderick Strong has zero charisma. But he's a part of the...
He's got negative charisma that rubs off on the other ones. It's so negative, it just inversely rubs on them. I don't know.
You know, and then you have Shawn Michaels' son,
Adam Cole.
But together with the things they do and what they have done, they're the coolest stable in wrestling right now. Like, if you want a contest and, like, you got to be, like, you know, a part of any one stable from any show... So your choices are the Undisputed Era, whatever garbage fucking Seth Rollins is rolling to the ring with these days. Oh, God. Him, Buddy Murphy, and AOP.
What the hell? I saw Buddy Murphy with those guys there the other night. I was watching Raw in a sleepy daze, and I woke up, and Buddy Murphy, of all people, was with AOP and Seth Rollins. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Who is writing this?
They're writing it's a reward for good behavior is what it is.
It got to the point on Raw where Corey Graves is literally giving up on commentary and just saying, "Okay, I'm done. Whatever, fire me."
I saw that.
Oh my God, hideous.
The Monday Night Messiah. Sorry. The best part about AOP is them talking to each other in different languages. I think that's hilarious, and they need more of that. I need more of the AOP talking to each other in different languages and Lana giving long 20-minute sermons.
Oh my God. Minus sans the Russian accent.
Let me book the first hour of Raw. Give me an opening promo by Lana, followed by the AOP having a conversation in two distinctly different languages, and then follow it up with R-Truth and Brock Lesnar.
Somewhere in the world, Vince Russo was watching that going, bro.
Anyway.
It was hideous. Anyway, back to NXT.
Yes. So you can only join one stable. The Undisputed Era, the Monday Night Messiahs. No, I wasn't even going to throw the New Day in there. The top like heel stables. The Inner Circle.
Ooh, good one.
I had another one besides the Inner Circle. Yeah, no, you. The point, just I'm dragging this out. The point is you joined the Undisputed Era.
Absolutely.
Like, if you looked around and saw all these various stables, the Dark Order. no one joins the Dark Order.
Oh, God. Yikes. Man, they're the worst.
They are. It's so sad. Yeah, no, you know, like the deal.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Elite. And I think 9 out of 10 people join the Undisputed Era. They're just they're cooler than Jesus right now.
They are, 100%.
Which makes it hard to put them in a heel role. Which is a weird thing, because like you're two, so Worlds Collide is your top heel stable of the Undisputed Era versus your top heel stable Imperium, which I love Imperium. They're great for a whole other group of different reasons. Who are you supposed to cheer for? Like it's a weird match. And it sets the Undisputed Era up as something they're not meant to be. They're not meant to be faces. And so you end up doing the cool NWO heel thing, which is great, except that it burns out really fast.
Big time. You can't... Well, the best thing about Undisputed Era is that every time that they get a... Like you said, the fans wanted to do the boom, but they didn't give it to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're smart enough to recognize not to embrace the whole face thing. They're still going to do the heel antics. They kicked the crap out of, you know, the UK champion on United Kingdom soil, you know what I mean? They did the whole invasion thing, and I mean, they pretty well massacred this guy. They had him down on his knees, and they were kicking the crap out of him. Looked like an actual execution. So, you know, all the heel tendencies were there. The fact that the crowd were mega into him, they tried their best to shut it down instead of embracing it. So give them that. A lot of teams would definitely embrace it, you know what I mean, and take the cheers in. But that's what I think separates Undisputed. When you think that they're getting hot and they're being embraced by the fans, they'll do something to turn the crowd on them. So it's pretty genius and old school.
Yeah. On the one hand, it's like the Dana White thing. You know, don't cry when we give you the best matches we can give you because one of the guys didn't deserve it. Like, right. I get it. I got why Dana White booked had the fights booked the way that he did. I get why they want to do Undisputed versus Imperium, because why wouldn't you? It's just one of those, like, who the fuck am I supposed to root for now? Like, I guess I root for the Undisputed Era because I like them and I have their t-shirt, but I also like Imperium. But wait, I'm supposed to hate all these guys. What the fuck?
So where is Worlds Collide taking place? Where?
Good question. Worlds Collide.
That'll dictate where the crowd goes.
Houston, Texas.
There you go. So it's Undisputed Era land. So Imperium are the sharp heels in that one.
Which is currently looking like, you know, again, Imperium versus the Undisputed Era. Rhea Ripley versus Toni Storm for the NXT Women's Championship, and Finn Balor versus Ivan Drago.
How much money do you give for someone who says that Toni Storm is going to defeat Rhea Ripley? What's her chances, Mark?
She's not going to beat Rhea Ripley.
That's what I'm saying, brother. Not a fucking chance in hell. No. Just it's the same thing with Imperium being cheered in Houston. It ain't happening.
No, sir. Overall, I would give this. It wasn't perfect. We obviously have spent the last hour talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly of this show. So strong B plus, A minus, somewhere in there.
I'm definitely with you on that. So this one built for me. So I was looking at the show. It wasn't their strongest show. I don't think it was better than Blackpool 1 by any stretch of the imagination. However, it won me over. So by the end of the show, I was saying, you know, definitely a great pay-per-view. There was a lot of great action in there. You've got a lot of stars that they're building there. I mean, Walter is a star. Tyler Bate is going to be a mega star, put in the right, you know, right situation. So, I mean, the talent is there. And, you know, good show overall. So I'm definitely in B-land with you, brother.
I'm on either TakeOver Portland or something down the road, maybe TakeOver Tampa, Tyler Bate versus Roderick Strong. Give me Tyler Bate, Roderick Strong, either 2 out of 3 falls or a 30-minute Ironman match.
Definitely. I would watch it in a heartbeat. I'd love it.
I think those two would make magic together. The other thing I need is Killer Cross versus Cesaro. I just do.
Where was Cesaro? Like, you think that that would be a prime opportunity to bring that guy out again?
I don't know. Chained up in Vince's basement with his pants down and lube up his ass. I have no idea what's going on with Cesaro.
Yep, he's taking it over the wood horse, brother.
I just have this picture of, like, Vince McMahon riding him like the dude on top of the fucking missile from Dr. Zhivago.
I was picturing the Dark Order doing strange things with him. Don't ask me why.
Wait, am I right, Dr. Fuck. How I learned to love the Atomic Bomb.
Yeah, the Atomic Bomb, yep.
Yeah.
Dr. Strangelove.
Dr. Strangelove, Dr. Zhivago. It's late. Oh, Chris Bailey. I don't want the show to end because we have so much fun, but you and I both have other shit to do, so let's get out of here.
Absolutely.
What do you got going on in your world, sir?
Oh, brother. So let's talk about what's happening on the 22nd. So, yes, Superblog Team Up is coming back. We've got a whole host of folks who are joining us for Superblog Team Up Chromium, which we're going to talk about, all kinds of gimmicks through the ages in the comic book world. So from Chromium covers to Polybag to Gatefold to you name it, if there was a gimmick, we're going to talk about it. So that's coming up January 22nd. Pop that on the calendar.
I can't wait for you to hear the show we did on Torment.
Oh, my God. Doom, 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 doom. That was, I can't wait to talk about that either. You know, I wish I was on that show with you guys. That was, so that one drove you out of comics, eh?
It certainly did, Ollie. My father, myself, it would be a long time before I would go back to comics again after Todd McFarlane's Spider-Man.
That was some bad stuff, man. That was some bad, bad stuff.
And reading it as a almost 44-year-old who tends to lay it on a bit thick, speaking of Cesaro in Vince McMahon's basement, somewhere out there, Todd McFarlane's ears are burning.
I wanted to get your opinion on two things before we wrap.
Sure.
We'll do the 10-second tidy on these things. Tessa Blanchard wins the Impact World Championship. Discuss quickly. Yes, exactly. Not only that, now she has this big controversy about her being a bully. So all of a sudden now she is the poster child for bullying in wrestling.
I can do this in 50 words or less.
Go, give her.
One, nobody should be called a racial slur, and if she did, I hope she's apologized since then. If she hasn't, she should at least apologize to that person. The rest of these bitches just need to get lives and shut the fuck up.
Stop being a snowflake.
Yeah, you know, if Tessa Blanchard really hurt somebody's feelings and called them an ethnic slur of some sort, she should apologize to that person and they should work it out like adults. Other than that, all of you people, get off of Twitter. Just take it. Everyone, get off of Twitter.
Yes, I think that's the whole point. Get off! Just get off Twitter, everybody.
I'm not into virtual dogpiling.
Oh, there's so many jokes, so little time. Brian Cage to AEW. Discuss that.
Well, hang on, because I got to give you my opinion on this. I didn't watch Hard to Kill because I didn't need to see Tessa Blanchard beat up Sami Callihan. And I know there's people who, you know, like Jim Cornette was like, oh, Tessa Blanchard could in real life probably whoop Sami Callihan. Here's the thing. No, she couldn't.
Exactly. Sammy, she might get a shot in on him, like give him a nut shot or something and disable him for 2 minutes or something like that. Yeah, all possible.
Look,
but guess what? One paintbrush and she's done.
Right. Ronda Rousey could kick my ass. I'm an old, fat, out-of-shape white guy, and she's an Olympic judoka. Okay?
Right.
Ronda Rousey versus Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey's going to the hospital. Period.
You know what? I don't know about that, Mark. I think I can take her. I'm putting out the challenge right now. Chris Bailey, Ronda Rousey, anytime you want to go, girl. Let's do it.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I said I would take a punch from Deontay Wilder from $1 million. And if he fucking hit me.
Absolutely.
I'll take that. For $1 million, I'll take a punch from just about anybody. But... But my point is, and this is why the Tessa Blanchard stretches credulity thing, because Tessa Blanchard is an average girl. She is.
Yes. She's not big. She's not.
She's an average girl wrestler, but she's Tully Blanchard's daughter, and she has Sergeant Slaughter chin, and she's like the hardest working like indie female out there. She gets herself on all the shows. She showed up on No Holds Barred. She's on Impact. She's all over the fucking place. And, you know, she was the WOW champion for a whole season of that until she lost it to The Beast. And she was great on WOW. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. I like Tessa Blanchard, but she's just a girl. She's right. Just a girl in the world. And, you know, and so there's no reason why, and I'm going to echo the sentiments of a Jim Cornette here. A competitive athletic girl versus a competitive athletic guy, unless there are some weird circumstances involved, doesn't win.
Right.
It worked with China. China was bigger than most of the guys she wrestled. She was either as big or bigger than Jeff Jarrett. She was
a complete beast.
She was bigger than fucking Jericho, and they took it off of her before it got stupid. So, yes. Like, you know, I think, like, they, you know, she won the fucking title from Jeff Jarrett in, like, a garbage match. They were, like, hitting each other with blenders and shit.
That's exactly right.
And she had the one feud, I think, with Chris Jericho, where even that, you know, they gussied it up. So, you know, I think they were, like, co-intercontinental champions there for a bit.
They were, yes.
You know, it was very storyline laden. And then they took it off of her, and she'll never speak of the shortcut again. You know, but, you know... China took stunners from fucking Steve Austin. She didn't fucking beat Steve Austin 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. She didn't beat The Rock in the middle of the ring. A lot of what China did was hitting people from behind in the balls.
Exactly. Right on the money, sir.
So the fact that Impact decided that, you know, none of our guys could draw, you know, could draw flies on shit. So we'll put the title on her because she's the biggest star we have. Is beyond stupid. And it's just a sign that company has fucking no ideas and is giving up and grasping at straws.
Bingo. Right on the money. Good call.
Brian Cage
to AEW and the complete decimation of the Ring of Honor roster. Holy shit. Is there anything left in independent wrestling outside of AEW and, of course, our NXTs right now?
Yes! Wow. Game Changer Wrestling!
Haven't
Do you
it.
Like death matches? My son does. He's almost six.
You're a good man. He'll hope he'll be beating his friends over the head with light bulbs and.
He saw a homicide stab Casanova Valentine repeatedly in the head with a fork, and then waterboard him with bleach.
Waterboarded him with bleach.
And
what
my
is wrong with you?
And my son was screaming at the television. I showed him. This is what I was talking about earlier, and then we'll end with this. Well, I haven't really addressed the Brian Cage thing, but I showed him Game Changer Wrestling's July 4th Backyard Wrestling show, and he was like, "So what's the big deal about this one?" And I'm like, "Jonas, at the end of this one, someone's going to get hit with a car." And for 3 hours, all I heard about was, "When is the damn car coming out?"
Oh my God.
And then Jimmy Lloyd, in fact, drove a car into a pool.
I love it. I got to check that out. What's the pay-per-view called?
Backyard Wrestling.
Okay, Backyard. Oh, yeah. So I've seen some of that, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to cover it. That got me through chemo. It was the best part of that week for me.
I'm definitely checking that shit out.
Just real quick, since you asked, Brian Cage, I mean, he, like I said, he's got, like, awesome wrestler body. You know,
yeah,
like bulgy Ivan Putski weightlifter body.
He's got the opposite of Piper Niven, so he's built like a tank. He's built like a tank and wrestles like a luchador. I think that's this is a big signing for AEW, whether they realize it or not.
It all depends on how you use them. I have seen every company from the WWE on down sign a guy, Matt Morgan. Matt Morgan should have been the king of wrestling of the universe for a decade. It should have been the era of Morgan when he was with the WWE. And what did they do? Give him a stuttering gimmick? Is that what happened?
Okay, I see your Matt Morgan, and I present you Mike Awesome, the Fat Chick Thriller.
Touche.
Beat that one, sir.
WCW already did. Yeah, how do you sign Mike Awesome while he's still ECW champion and fuck that into the ground?
Oh, it was a disaster. Oh, what a disaster. I love Mike Awesome. I was a huge Mike Awesome fan. And I couldn't wait to see him in WCW, and they literally fucked it into the ground, and then they had nothing else to do with him but turn him into the Fat Chick Thriller, which his wife loved, apparently.
Good for her. Nobody has looked more like a professional wrestling champion. Like, they should have been the king of their company since the Ultimate Warrior, like Matt Morgan.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. So Matt Morgan was definitely had star written all over him. Now, TNA took him, and they did some pretty cool stuff with him. But again, he was around during the Hogan era, and, you know, there was only so far you were going to go in that federation when it came to Hogan and the Bischoffs, you know what I mean?
It's saying like TNA had him is like saying that I know the best Chinese food place is this guy that's in, you know, in a condemned building in the basement behind the door that says "Beware of the Leopard."
Whoa, that's some good chicken balls right there.
You know, I'm sure it's great, but no one knows where it is. And that was when they were on Spike. I remember when Matt Morgan was there, because that's the first time I'd ever... I didn't see him when they were dog-fucking him in the WWE. I saw him when he was in TNA, and I remember asking people who I was friendly with who watched wrestling at the time, like what the... No, this was years later, and I was like, what the fuck happened to Matt Morgan? Why wasn't he a bigger star? They were like, they tried. It didn't go well. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, when you think about what they did with him, I mean... You know, they tried to... I can't remember what his gimmick was. Can you remember?
In the WWE?
Oh, in TNA. They made him... They gave him this giant cape, and he was... I don't know if it was the prototype or...
That was John Cena. I just remember he wore, like, silver tights, and he was, like, a kind of like a superhero. I just thought he looked amazing.
He was, man. And he had all the... I mean, the guy could wrestle. The guy could absolutely wrestle. He was fantastic in the ring.
I don't think TNA really gave him a chance, though. Like, they pushed him more than the WWE did, from what I've been led to believe. But he's also in there with Booker T and Kevin Nash and Kurt Angle and Sting. He was in there during all of that.
Is he wrestling now? Or is he...
No.
I think he's in politics or something now, I think. I'm not sure.
I think much like a lot of people who looked at themselves and then experienced what he experienced in the wrestling industry, he was like, no, this is for the fucking birds. I'm going to go get an adult job.
Nailed it, sir.
So, Brian Cage, considering how the Elite guys have been booked and they're the stars of the company, we'll see. Jim Cornette dogs on that company pretty hard, and I can't do Jim Cornette justice, so I'm just going to sit back and be like, well... There's stuff I like in AEW. There's stuff that's garbage. Maybe they'll fall backwards into booking him like a star. Who knows?
I don't know. I just hope they do the right thing with him, because I think AEW's got a little bit of talent coming, and I think they've got some other folks. I mean, they got Luke Harper coming. He's going to be Brody Lee. There's talks about the Revival showing up as Shatter Machine. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that are in the weeds that are potentially about to happen for AEW. So it's a good thing we've got a couple of different promotions, but we've got a couple that are on the fringe of closing up shop. I mean, ROH is there, but I mean, it's the worst shape that they're in right now. You know what I mean?
ROH and MWA are working together, and they just gave Marty Skrull the book. So,
yeah,
you know,
it might be good.
Ring of Honor is a zombie promotion that no matter how dead you think it is, it just keeps going.
I will tell everyone before I leave is that check out NWA Power. It is probably one of the funnest hours of pro wrestling you'll ever watch. It's retro, vintage, and it's some of the best stuff you'll ever see Damian Sandow do. It's hilarious. Check it out.
On one of these days where I'm getting my infusions, I think instead of working on podcast stuff, I might just dedicate a day to binging NWA Power.
Oh, you're going to love it, Mark. I'm telling you right now. If you're an NWA old school NWA fan, you'll dig this the most, man.
We'll see, because I wasn't, so.
oh, well.
Forget it.
Fuck it.
All right, for those of you hearing this, it is, as I said, an exclusive to WTM. We've got two more shows left on the Rattlegem Broadcasting Network feed. We'll have a TV party for The Mandalorian and a TV party for the CW Crisis on Infinite Earths. It's actually wrapped up prior to us taping this tonight. And then that's it. Starting the 17th, assuming I can get home from Bad Boys for Life on time, myself and John War will be kicking off our exclusive participation on the WTM network with a boxing commentary for Vladimir Shishkin versus Ulysses Sierra on the Showbox from Iowa. No, unfortunately, we won't be doing any more boxing covers this weekend. We were supposed to do McGregor versus Cowboy, but Chris Bailey understands my pain. Mother-in-law's birthday.
Oh, good luck with that, my brother.
Indeed.
Good luck.
But you can check out on both feeds for the time being our source material on Crisis on Infinite Earths from Al Sedano on the Adam Warlock and Thanos podcast and Alexis Haina from Honeysuckle Rose Creations. They broke that book down. They did a great job of it because apparently that book is convoluted as fuck. but they broke it down well, and they had a great conversation on it. You can check that out. Myself and Jesse Starcher had one of our more positive conversations about Star Wars over the past month when we talked about Star Wars Blood Ties, a tale of Boba and Jango Fett. Also in the archives, while it still exists, we've got some boxing coverage of Jaime Munguia versus Spike O'Sullivan, 80s Kiss with Pat Mullen, and our Metal Hammer of Doom year-end special, a TV party for Watchmen, Doomsday Clock, Fight Club 2, the original Fight Club movie, our Chapter 3 on heavyweight boxing featuring Joe Louis, and our TV party for Fuller House Season 5. That's all in the archives. Check it out. Make sure you're subscribed to WTM on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever you download your podcasts from, because that's where we're going to be. And if you want to keep up on all the Rattlegem and broadcasting, hey, did you like the way we handled this? And you want to hear more? You want to hear us run down the Royal Rumble? And I don't mean, like, tell you about it. I mean literally run it down, because it's going to be terrible.
Right to the ground. We will do it.
You want to see us fuck the Royal Rumble into the ground like they did Matt Morgan? Well, check it out on the WTM Network.
What a great closing that was, everybody. You got to come back for more now. I mean, there's nothing left to do in life but come back for our Royal Rumble.
That's right. Perfect. If you want to see us make professional wrestling squeal like a pig boy, check us out on the WTM Network. And with that said, for the imitable Chris Bailey, I'm Mark Rattledge. This has been TV Party Tonight. Be well, be safe, and behave.
Bye, Piper.